Hi, welcome to the Indie Game Development Podcast Show. With me today is a special guest. How about you introduce yourself?
I'm Imad Akhun. I'm one of the co-founders of HazeApp and one of the creators of Swinefighter, along with Jude Gamilla.
Can you talk about Swinefighter? I guess it was in Time magazine, and it's been a very popular meme. What's it about?
So Swinefighter's been going crazy for the last 2 weeks, I think. Basically, it's a little flash game. You can find it on swinefighter.com. We knocked it up in basically one night, and it's an easy kind of fun flash game where you can vaccinate flying pigs who have swine flu, and you get a high score in about 30 seconds, and it's you know, you can share it on Twitter and Facebook and things like that, and it's been going. We launched it not this week, last week on Tuesday, and ever since then we've had, I think, I haven't done a calculation recently, it must be about 4 million gameplay since then, so it's just been insane.
Well, congratulations on taking the initiative to release this game really quickly, so that's great. When you thought of the idea, what inspired you to actually go through with it? I know a lot of developers will be like, hey, that's a good idea, but then they'll be like, well, they're just kind of too busy with their own work to focus on it. What inspired you guys to get it done?
Yeah, I mean, so basically, we run HazeApp, so I mean, we don't actually make games generally. This is actually the first game we made, but we're always thinking about gaming. And so one day we were reading in the news about swine flu, and my friend actually had the idea of why don't we make a game, and I was like, you can't be serious, but you know, like we're quite creative. And we didn't spend too much time on it. Like, the idea was to make a very simple, kind of easy to play game. So I think overall we started at about 8 p.m. and we got it done pretty much by 6 a.m. including the website and things like that. So it was crazy to kind of just spend the whole night and do it, and it was just very adrenaline fueled. And we went through it. I mean, we thought we could make it work. I mean, the sure. Concept itself is obviously hard to deal with, because, you know, swine flu is obviously a very bad thing, especially at the time where there was a lot of fear around whether it's going to spread or become a pandemic or anything like that. Sure. So I mean, the first like half an hour or something, we discussed the game concept and how do we make it not, you know, stupid. so we thought we could make it playful, and we thought we could, you know, execute on something that people would actually laugh about and not get all worked up about. And I think we did that well.
Yeah, and so, you know, through the few hours that it took to develop this, how long did you spend on design, and how long did you spend on development, and what other steps did you have to take during that night to actually get this game out?
So obviously there was many aspects to it. We didn't just make a game. We also made the whole Swinefighter website. I would say most of the time was probably spent on the graphical side of things. We used an existing game engine, which made it a bit easier, obviously, to get it up and running. And we basically just customized it and changed the gameplay a bit, but not dramatically. So in terms of the steps, so this was actually my first kind of flash development as well. So I was trying to learn a lot of things at the same time. But in terms of steps, it was really like get the game engine and then start customizing it and figure out, you know, customize the graphics. And then once we had the game looking good enough, we knocked up the web page and, you know, did the top design and stuff like that. And actually, one of the things that made that a lot easier was I have friends who work at Heroku, which is basically a web deployment platform for Rails, on Rails. So they, like, I basically just put it on there, and I send them an email saying, this might get a lot of traffic, make sure you increase like the server capacity without me paying anything. So they've been pretty amazing about it, because I think on the first day we got to the front page of Dig.
Oh, nice.
And we were just like straight away from the first day, we were pretty much going crazy. I think I don't know how many tweets. It was at least like 20 tweets every 15 minutes, probably more. So yeah, I think Dig and Twitter were basically the biggest things for us.
I noticed in the game there's an option to, you know, post to Facebook or Twitter. Was that something that you had pre-made, or did you have to also design that viral flow while you were there doing it that one night?
We designed it on the fly. This is actually a friend of mine's idea. We were just going to put the share this button. He was like, oh, you have to put these buttons in there. And we're like, okay, let's try it out. And it worked out really well. It's actually quite easy to do. Like if someone sends me an email, I can show them how. So we designed that and it worked really well. I mean, the biggest one was Twitter, which we thought Facebook would be the biggest one just because, you know, everyone's still using Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
And users, but Twitter, I think it's more of a sharing place, I think, than Facebook. Like Twitter's all about sharing things, whereas Facebook's got like photos and friends and things like that. So
was the number of tweets increasing exponentially as as the time went on, or was it a constant number of tweets that were being sent out via that option on the game?
Oh, that's a good question. Unfortunately, there's not a great way to answer that on Twitter. I would say from just looking at it anecdotally, it was definitely increasing. It's pretty proportional, I think, to gameplays. So our gameplays were, they definitely grew like very fast. So from the first to the second to the third day, it was fairly exponential, and then it kept growing a bit, but it leveled off, and I think the tweets probably represented that pretty closely.
What did you think about when you first released it? I'm just in awe because, you know, if you think about it, your game has had more play than, you know, many AAA titles and some heavy, which is awesome because you just started learning Flash and you just did it in one night. I mean, you had the right theme and the right topic and the right virality, which is awesome. So I'm just fascinated about the whole thing. So, yeah, were there any other surprises as you were developing this or designing this or once you released it?
I mean, obviously, like, we had aspirations that it might do well, but we didn't quite expect it to do this well. We basically told, in terms of, like, what we did for press, because of HazeApp, like, I knew a couple of people, like, we got TechCrunch and VentureBeat, partly because I had their email addresses, so I sent them an email and said, oh, it's doing really well. But then from that point onwards, I would say most of our coverage, so we were, in the end, we had a mention in New York Times, we had Times, CNET, Guardian, Telegraph. If you go on the website, all of them on there, there's a bunch more. And also a lot of, I think we were in the biggest newspaper in Mexico as well, and had a ton of gameplays in Mexico as well. So most of that was completely people like emailing us, or in fact, I'd say more than 50% was probably people not even talking to us and just writing about us, which I wasn't expecting. Because I thought with, like, everything will be like we'd have to work to get that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it just literally just it was a good concept and the media really liked it.
And in terms of monetization, did you use this site to did you put ads on the site or did you use it to promote HazeApp or was there anything else involved or?
Yeah, I mean, we actively didn't put any advertising because of the nature of the topic. We actually we had CDC information at the bottom to like tell people how to kind of take care of themselves, and we had a Red Cross link at the top to get people to donate to Red Cross. So, I mean, we were very much not trying to kind of monetize the concept very aggressively. Because obviously it's a sensitive issue and you know we could have made maybe a little bit of money but it wouldn't have been earth shattering so that was kind of our feeling on it
So now once you've now that you've released a hit game what's next in store then in terms of future games to do
so it was definitely part of the thing Swinefighter did was teach us what it takes to kind of distribute a game. So obviously HazeApp, we basically distribute games to websites, but we've not like seen it from the game developer's perspective, like as you know, as strongly as since Swine Fighter. So I think we've learned a lot because of that. So our focus is really kind of go back to Swine Fighter and go back to HazeApp and see, you know, how can we improve HazeApp so it works better for game developers? And ideally, we want to just make it so, you know, for the game developer, HazeApp would be so good that they would choose to distribute all their games from HazeApp instead of from anything else.
Yeah,
I mean, that's definitely one name.
Let's talk about HazeApp. What's it exactly about? And, you know, what inspired you to start the company?
Yeah, so the story of HazeApp is basically we were originally just going to make a destination website, so make a website where you could find games. You could, you know, we wanted to improve like recommendations of these games as well, because there's thousands of them out there right now, and there's no easy way to find new games or like say I like this game, therefore you know what's another game like it kind of thing. So we started off like that, and then we had the idea, why not get the game, you know, instead of making a separate new website, why not make it so any other website could embed this content? And then we went more and more into that space, and we realized there was actually no, you know, if I run a blog or if I run even a really big website, even something like, you know, CBS or Wired, there's no very easy way to just go, okay, I want games content. Yeah, in the same way you can do with video, like with YouTube, you can always just go to YouTube and get video content. You just can't do that with games. So we thought we could make that process really simple and easy, and basically make a better game store for the user and make it kind of better for the game developers, because they can get it out to websites that, you know, don't normally have games. So we were trying to, it was a win-win situation. So that's kind of how we started. And we got a bit of seed funding from Y Combinator. And they funded, you know, quite a few companies, people like Scribd and I'm in Like With You, which is the other kind of gaming company. So that's how we got started basically in September, and we launched in January.
And, you know, what's the response and what's next in store then for HazeApp in terms of ways to distribute games?
Yeah, so the response has been great. I mean, HazeApp itself has increased like an order of magnitude because of Swine Fighter. So we used HazeApp to distribute Swine Fighter as well. Next in store for HazeApp, we have a bunch of kind of exciting things. I would say the biggest and coolest stuff is we're basically gonna make it even easier to get HazeApp anywhere. So we're gonna make apps in the right platform, so you can get HazeApp on MySpace, Facebook, things like that, and also on blogs. So we're really attacking this kind of the idea of just spreading it everywhere and as easy as possible for users.
Are you going to focus then on certain types of games that you distribute? Because you look at Swine Fighter, you know, and that's kind of a political game, or you know, more of a news oriented game. I don't know if that's something that you were doing initially, or if it's something that maybe that's the best way to distribute, or that's the types of games you should focus on, or what's in store for that?
The widest of games possible. I mean, we have, I think, about 8,000 games in our database now. Okay. And the idea for us is really like the ability for publishers to get whatever type of game works for their website. So if you run a political website, like was it Huntington Post? And you want to get political games, then you can do that really easily. Or if you run a sports website and you want to get sports games, you can do that really easily. So we try to keep the widest games possible, and we build kind of tagging and other kind of category information to make it easier for publishers to get the right games for the audience. If anything, we're going to go more general rather than niche.
Okay.
When it comes to games.
And are you focusing on single-player games or multiplayer games?
We have a selection of both. It's probably some of the best Flash games right now are still single player, but there's definitely a trend towards more and more multiplayer games, and we're gonna buy multiplayer. I think ideally every game would be single player and multiplayer, so we're gonna go with what the audience wants what is available.
Are there specific types of games that a lot of people seem to like to play, or any specific genre that seems to be really huge?
So it's interesting. I mean, so desktop, like Tower Defense games, that's a big genre which is fairly not unique to casual games, but it's definitely more in casual games than a normal. All the other normal genres work quite well, like shooting games are quite popular. Things that are easy to get into. So it depends. There's this kind of two audience for these kind of casual games. There's the male kind of 15 to 25 year old audience, and then there's a female older audience. Like kind of soccer moms or things like that. And there's many websites that cater just for one or just for the other audience. So for the for female games, there's a bunch of games out there, like dressing games and like cooking games. Not that I'm trying to generalize what women like to do, but also just like games like Bloons work on both audiences. So
So for indie game developers, can they submit games to your site, or what would be the best use of HeyZap for them?
Yeah, we've got a developer section where you can submit games. If we already have your game, which is reasonably likely because we pull games from a bunch of sources, then you can claim your game from us as well. So if you submit it or just send us an email, we will find it and kind of link it to you. And then you can see, what gameplays your game is getting, and we're going to add, ability to see where your game is being played on our network and things like that as well.
Okay. And any last words then for game developers or, aspiring game developers or people looking to start up their own company in games?
Yeah, flash games are good. Like, I think simple concepts work really well. Just have fun and do it. And you're probably better game developers than us. So show us how it's done.
Great. So we're talking with one of the creators of Swine Fighter. Thanks again for your time. Take care.
Thank you for your time.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.